In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are, getting ready to enter into some new parts of this book of heaven. And we're on volume 23, 2, 28. And the title that is on this one is Just as God has the hierarchy of angels in heaven with 9 distinct choirs, so shall God have the hierarchy of the children of his divine kingdom with 9 more choirs. The condition of the late confessors and how the memory of Father De Francia shall not be extinguished in this work. So here we have God revealing to Luisa these secrets, these treasures that the Lord is going to bestow upon all of bestow upon humanity. And he's asking for those souls who want to know these secrets, these treasures that have been given to Luisa. As we read this, everything in us becomes more focused. Sacred scripture becomes alive. The lives of the saints, we get to understand in a deeper way how they were doing the will of God. And with Luisa, we begin to understand how living in the will of God. And she says, I was thinking about the holy divine will, and 1,000 thoughts crowded my poor mind. They seemed like many stronger lights that were arising, that when unified themselves with that same light of the eternal sun, of that fiat that knows no setting. But who can say what I was thinking? So here, Luisa is beginning, she's talking about divine realities in human terms. And, you know, she would say this as she went along. She would say, all that's coming out of me is nonsense because I can't explain the beauty that she's discovering, the delight, the joy that she's entering into. She says there are no words, there are no human words that will help a soul understand these truths. And what's really astonishing is this is what's happening to all the souls who are reading the Book of Heaven. Everyone that's reading the Book of Heaven is little by little entering into this abundant light, this life, this love. And people say, well, when does this happen? How does it happen? It's up to God. But I can guarantee you, as you read, as Jesus keeps in expanding your capacity to understand these divine realities of heaven, as he begins to teach Luisa, and as we read, as we study, more and more of these truths take hold in us. It's a beginning of a new, as Pope St. John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness. There is such happiness in this. As you read, I mean, the readings, I love the calendar, but as you read the calendar every day, it's our God is explaining to us in detail, new and powerful, lights, these truths, these manifestations, these promises that he's given to Luisa. And as we read them, and this is what's so much fun, like somebody said to me the other day, they said, I'm reading again the calendar for the third time. It's all brand new. It's like I've never read any of this before. Now, they've read it. But what God is doing is he's expanded their capacity to understand more of these truths, these secrets, these treasures that have been hidden from humanity. I mean, when you listen to St. Paul, he says, you know, we have been blessed to hear these truths that have been hidden from the beginning of time. And that's for the kingdom of redemption. And now the kingdom of sanctification, this great third fiat that's coming upon the earth, God is doing more. And he's bringing about a new and divine way of holiness. And what you have read last year at this time in the calendar, he's now expanding it, and it's brand new. And then he expands it again, and it's brand new. These words that the Word of God is speaking they're not human. They're divine. And as Jesus speaks these words, everything changes for us. And so this is what's happening. She says, I was thinking about many knowledges spoken to me by Jesus on the divine will and how each of them brings a divine life into the soul with the imprint of a rarity of beauty, of happiness, but distinct one from another, that places in common with the one who has the good of knowing it and of loving it. So we have the good of knowing it if we're reading and studying and putting this into practice. We're knowing it, loving it, and we're letting it reign in us. And God expands our capacity. And as she says, it's a divine life. Jesus says, when I speak a word, it is living. It's alive. You know, when God said, fiat lux, the universe began. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. And now with the fiat voluntas tua, this is also happening within us. Just imagine every priest, every deacon, every bishop from the pulpit proclaiming what Jesus has just said to us through Louisa. Each of these truths, these knowledges, these promises brings a divine life into the soul with the imprint of a rarity of beauty, of happiness, but distinct one from another. And it places in common with the soul who has the good of knowing it and loving it. This is where Louisa is without words, and it happens to us as well. When we enter into this gift and really begin to study it, nothing is the same anymore. Nothing human is of any desire. What God is breathing into us is a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II said, that's coming upon the earth. And it's very close. It's so close you can almost taste it. That's how close it is. And this new and divine way of holiness is as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, everything that you read, the next time that you read it, it's brand new. And the Lord is expanding our capacity. So he says this, Louisa says this. So I thought to myself, one knowledge more or less, one less, there shall be a great distance between one soul and another. Now think about that. The Lord knows that, you know, he has created us to be at this time. He has predestined us to live at this time. We didn't live in the 1500s. We're living right now. Why? He says, these are the souls who he says must live in my divine will. He has great hope of what we are going to do when we read, when we study, when we put into practice these truths. He says, but Louisa says, one knowledge more, one page less, there shall be a great difference between one soul and another. One word more, one word less. As this is why when you make that commitment to read and you make the promise, it's between you and Jesus. When you make that promise of, hey, I'll read every day, you know, you give me the time and I'll read. And God gives you the time. Yeah, again, a lot of times you have to put things in order to have the time. But we have the time. We have the time for everything we want to do. And Jesus says, I'm looking for the souls who want the divine will more than anything. Hopefully that's us. So she says, so I felt sorrow in remembering my late confessors who had so much interest in making me write what Blessed Jesus would tell me on the divine will. I, Louisa, felt sorry for the venerable Father DeFrancia, who had made so many sacrifices and coming from far away, meeting expenses for the publications. And just when things were moving forward, Jesus brought him to heaven with himself. So here Luis is looking at human things and she's going, I feel bad about this. So these things did not possess all that regards to the fiat. So Father de Francia, St. Honorable de Francia, who was Luis's confessor, who put the imprimatur, he put the nihil abstat, and he got Archbishop May to put the imprimatur on these writings. And he never got the chance to read all of volume 20 through volume 36. He read parts of it. And this is the thing that's so amazing. There was a time when we had volume 20, and it was part of volume 20, part of volume 21, part of volume 22, part of volume 23. And these were the, they were taking Luis's writings. These are the sisters and the brothers of St. Honorable's community who would sit down and write legibly what Luisa wrote. And so it was clear. It was typed. So at first I remember when we got volume 20 through, well, volume 20, we had pieces. It was beautiful. It was intriguing. It was so beautiful. And yet when the real volume 20 came out, there were some people who said, this isn't volume 20. And they got really upset. And I'm going, well, it was a combination of, you see it in volume 21, you see it parts in volume 22, you see parts in volume 23. And they were going, this is wrong. And they wouldn't read it. See, that's the human will, seeing things on a human terms, seeing things from a human reality. God had plans. And even in that, the disturbance, God couldn't use that person, those people who thought like that. He couldn't use them because there was a block. There wasn't a fiat. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us how to say fiat in every situation. There are certain things that are happening in the church that are very unusual, to say the least. God is in charge. I remember when I left the seminary in 66. I started at 64. This is the minor seminary. Left it in 66 because the seminary closed. And in 67, Pope Paul VI said, that index was dissolved. Anybody could read anything they want. And I was furious. I said, who is this guy saying we can now read this evil stuff that the index has taken away? Why? You know, I was really concerned. You know, it was like in 1996, I was in the secret archives of the Vatican, and here's what was forbidden, Luisa's writings. And now they were given to the world. At that time, I thought this was wrong. I thought this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. But what had happened was Cardinal Ratzinger basically read Luisa's writings and said, these should be published. And that's a letter that we have that went to the Archbishop of Mexico City. All the writings of Luisa should be published. What is great is God is in charge. A lot of things we don't understand, a lot of things we get upset about, but we have to live in the fiat. We have to live in the fiat, that yes to God. And then this is what's happening. So what Jesus is showing Luisa is this truth. One knowledge more or less, there shall be a great distance between one soul and another. And she says, I felt sorrow for St. Honorable de Francia, who made so many sacrifices. He says, and this is how God works. When everything was moving forward, Jesus brought him to heaven with himself. And so he did not possess all that regards to the fiat. And they shall not possess all the lives, all the rarities, all the beauties, all the happinesses that these knowledges contain. She's thinking humanly. Okay. while my mind was wandering in the midst of so many thoughts, such that if I wanted to tell them, it would be too long, my sweet Jesus stretched out his arms within my interior, spreading the light, told me, my daughter, just as I have the hierarchy of angels with 9 distinct choirs, so shall I have the hierarchy of the children of the kingdom of my divine fiat. Well, this is astonishing. It shall have its 9 choirs, and they shall be distinguished among themselves from one another according to the varieties of the beauties that these souls have acquired by knowing some more, some less, the knowledges that pertain to my fiat. So here's a secret. This is a secret that God is revealing to Louisa, explaining to us too, that this is what's going to happen in heaven. And he says, those that will have a variety of beauties that they have acquired from the knowledges of the divine will, the truths of the divine will, the promises of the divine will. So our Lord is getting everything ready. We have to be ready. Okay. And not to limit God. Now, I remember I was telling someone there's a possibility that ... And they go, well, God wouldn't do that. No, God's in charge. He can do whatever he wants. And what he has planned for humanity is perfection. What he has planned for humanity is divine healing. How he's going to do that is up to him. It's up what he wants. But when we limit God by saying, wait a minute, I don't think God can do that. God can do whatever he wants. And this is what he's saying. According to the variety of beauties that these souls have acquired by knowing some more, some less, the knowledges that pertain to my divine will. As we learn, as we study, as we put this into practice, what happens to our life in our lives is we become silent. We really do. We begin to treasure these things. It's like what Our Lady didn't say much in the New Testament. She said a few things like, listen to him, do whatever he tells you. But what she did, she treasured these things in her heart. The talk, Jesus says, a lot of people that talk show the emptiness of their soul. There's nothing there. It's just talk. It has nothing to do with glory, the glory of God. It has nothing to do with the salvation of souls. It's just talk. And what the Lord is revealing to us when we read is the silence. The silence is beauty. See, God speaks in silence. His voice is so pure, so beautiful, so holy, so silent that we have to be still to hear him. Let's look at Our Lady. She treasured these things in her heart. This is the true life of Our Lady that was given to Louisa. The true life of Jesus that was given to Louisa. Jesus says, so therefore each additional knowledge about my divine will, my divine volition, is one new creation that it forms in the soul. Every additional knowledge is a new creation that God forms in the soul. We haven't seen anything yet. Creation is not completed yet. And Jesus teaches Louisa what the kingdom of redemption isn't completed yet. Why? We are not sanctified yet completely. That's why we have been given this great gift of the divine will, to sanctify us, to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's going to come upon the earth. Yes, everything's in turmoil, if you want to say, but God is getting everything in order. If you've ever cleaned a messy room filled with dust, there's a lot of dust. There's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of, you're cleaning. And that's what God is doing now. He's purifying his church. He's purifying the world. He's getting everything in order. He's saying to each soul, what do you want? I have to give it to you. Again, going back to somebody just was telling me they just started reading the 3 Days of Darkness. 3 Days of Darkness is basically 3 days. It's death. Death is coming to the earth. God is saying to the evil one, take what's yours and get out. My kingdom's coming. So this is why Jesus is saying to each person, what do you want? I have to give it to you. What do you believe in? I have to give it to you. That's our God. That's the justice of God. Everything that you desire, you're going to receive. And the most difficult thing in the world is our human will, what we want. So what God is saying to us is he's saying, listen to what I'm going to teach Louisa. He says, each additional knowledge of my divine will is one new, it's a new creation in the soul that I want to fill the soul with. He says this, he says the happiness, the unreachable beauty, these new creations, because it is a divine life that runs within the divine will. These words that Jesus speaks, bringing with it itself all the shades of these divine beauties of God, who is manifesting these truths to us through Louisa. And all the keys and all the sounds of the joys, of the happinesses of God's divine being, image and likeness. He wants us to reflect this. So volume 1 through volume 10 is how to enter into a divine mirror, become a divine mirror of Jesus. The second volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, and this is what St. Anibal de Francia didn't read, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. He's given this to us. He didn't give it to St. Anibal de Francia. He didn't give it to all the confessors that died. See, Louisa was always with the priest. See, this is the priesthood is essential for the divine will. Jesus says, I never wanted her to be alone from the priesthood. She wasn't a priest, but she gave the priests this understanding of the truths, understanding of the knowledges, understanding of the promises that Jesus gave to her. And as she put them down on paper, she would say to the priest, am I on the right track? And the priest would say, some would say yes, some would say no. And then she'd go back to Jesus and she said, this priest is saying exactly the opposite of what you're saying. Jesus says, obey him. She goes, it's the opposite of, he goes, I know, don't worry. I'll take care of it. I'm teaching you obedience right now. And so she said, okay. And then shortly after that, the priest would say, yes, this is what you have to do. And it would be in line with what Jesus wants. So Jesus was teaching the priest the truth through Louisa. And again, what God does is he always chooses the weakest. He says this to Louisa. This is the greatest gift. And I'm giving it to you, Louisa. You have a first grade education. You're nothing. You're nothing but a blade of grass. He says, through you, though, the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. He loves to use nothing. And that's the great thing. The most beautiful thing is to, when we listen to Father Bucci, he says, to live in the divine will is to live in your nothingness, to live in your littleness, be little insignificant and hidden. And like I said, this silence that comes with reading the divine will is you're entering into a communion with God, where he begins to reveal to you divine truths through what Jesus said to Louisa. And as we read this, that's where you go to your confessor and you say, I read this one thing and I don't understand. Can you explain this to me, Father? And then the priest will say, yes, this is what it means. And what will happen is he'll remember something from what he had read in one of the saints, one of our dogmas or doctrines. He'll remember something because the Holy Spirit is working. It's not the priest. It's the Holy Spirit is working to reveal in guiding a soul. Don't be afraid when you might hear something that you might go, I don't know about that. I mean, as if it's morally or dogmatically sound, you know, you're going to hear some things that are going to be difficult, but be peaceful. Our Lady was peaceful at the foot of the cross. So Jesus says this. So if our paternal goodness exposes its life, exposes its beauty, exposes its happiness, to the point of creating it in the midst of creatures. And that's what's coming. And they do not interest themselves in knowing it in order to make it, take it by means of our knowledges already given to them. It is not right that they receive either the divine beauty or the sounds of our divine joys as their own endowments. Endowments. He's talking about the mystical marriage. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the wedding feast. This is what Jesus is showing us, is something that as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, he begins to discipline us in a way that the saints couldn't, because it's Jesus who's doing it. This is what's so great. And they said, they shall take what they have known. You must know God, and the saints have taught us, love God and serve God. Now Jesus says, you must know God, love God, and possess God. It's mutual possession. It's the wedding feast. Therefore, there shall be various choirs in the hierarchy in the kingdom of my divine will. If you knew what difference shall pass between those who bring my knowledges from earth, now this is another secret, and those who shall acquire them in heaven. Okay, there's two gifts. Those that bring the knowledges of the divine will to heaven, learning them on earth, and those who die without knowing them and learn them in heaven. Jesus is going to explain this. The first, those who learn these truths on earth, shall have them, these truths, as their own endowments, and one shall see in these souls the nature of the divine beauty, and they shall hear in these souls the same sounds of the divine joys, the divine happinesses that their creator makes one hear and forms. So they participate in the likeness of God. That's what those who learn about the divine will on earth, study it on earth, put it into practice on earth, he says they will, you'll see in them the nature of divine beauty. You'll hear in them the sounds and joys and happinesses of their God that one makes and one hears and forms. So he's saying to us, wait till you see what I'm going to do with those souls who are reading the book of heaven. The second, those that don't learn about the divine will on earth and go to heaven, these shall be neither their own nature nor their own endowments, but they shall receive them as the effects of the communication of others. A lot of times you hear something, see something from someone, and you use that. But to experience it, to have it participate in it, it's a completely different idea. So Jesus says, almost as if the earth receives the effects of the sun, but does not possess the nature of the sun. So what he's saying is those who read the divine will enter into this relationship with God, image and likeness, that Adam had before the fall. The true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve, that was given to Louisa. Therefore, those who shall possess all the knowledges, study, really study this, shall form the highest choir, and according to their knowledge, it's not just reading it. I read all 36 volumes. You have to know this. These truths are so essential that Jesus is saying to us, you can have as much as you want or as little as you want. You can read as much as you want, or you don't have to read at all. He says, I'm not going to interfere with your freedom. So he's telling Louisa to put this down on paper for those who want the divine will. And Jesus says the divine will is for everyone, but he said, in reality, it's for those who want this gift. He says very clearly, those who shall possess all the knowledges. I mean, this is, it to me, that's like an impossibility. I mean, there is so much that Jesus is telling us, so much that, but he's offering it to us. You know, this is our God. He's so great. shall form the highest choir according to their knowledge, and so shall the different choirs be formed. However, all those who have acquired these knowledges, whether in full or in part, shall have the noble title of children of my kingdom. That's us, hopefully. That's us. The kingdom of my, the children of my kingdom. You are the children of my kingdom. He says, you are the true children of my kingdom. Because what you have learned on earth is not just doing the will of God that the saints have taught you, but now living in the will of God, what I taught to Louisa, Jesus says. They shall have the noble title of children of my kingdom. Because for one who has the good of the, of knowing these truths, these manifestations, these promises, those who had the good of knowing them in order to make them one's own life. See, everything changes with the divine will. Everything changes. It's before the things that were difficult to reach spiritually, they're right in front of you. It's a divine understanding that the Lord is giving to all those souls who want it. Well, I want it. Well, get the book of heaven and read it. Jesus says he has planned who is going to read and what they're going to read. He knows what you're going to do. He has planned this. He says, this is why you, he says, I'm looking for the souls who must live in my divine will. Hopefully that's us. And he's saying very clearly, if you have the good of knowing these truths in order to make them one's own life, these knowledges on my fiat have the virtue of ennobling the creature, of making the vital human humors of the divine life. I mean, it's this divine life of God flow within the soul, raising the soul to her first origin, image and likeness of God, back to the womb of the Father. This is what God is offering to us. And he loves us so much. He's given us the book of heaven. Like I've mentioned before, there were times all we had was sheets of paper, mimeograph sheets of paper. And we didn't have, there was no books. There was nothing. And Jesus says, when these books come out, that was 1996, when the divine will comes out to the world, and it went out to the world, it wasn't their plan. That wasn't the plan. But somehow, in some way, it went to all the world. And this is a great blessing for the world. I remember a friend of mine went to China, and he went to all the seminaries. And he had a stack of CDs of all 36 volumes. And every seminary that he went to, he gave these, he had like, I think about 100 CDs. I think he gave them all out. So when you hear that the church is having difficulty with the church in China, whatever that means, I'm not worried about it. I know that the book of heaven is in China. I know it's there. I know what God's going to do. You can't read about Jesus Christ. You can't read about the Blessed Mother. Okay, we can't read. You can read about this one. She's nobody. She's nothing. You can read it. What's God doing? He's taking care of the situation. He's in charge. He knows what he has planned. God loves humanity so much that he says, I don't want to lose one soul. I don't want to lose one of my children. And so he says to us, would you be willing to stand in the breach? That's what he said to Louisa. Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites to beg for their salvation. And some were lost. But what happened is Jesus says, now, would you stand in the breach for all of my children? Not just your family, not just your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, but all of humanity from the beginning of time to the end of time. Would you be willing to pray? And that's what Jesus taught Louisa. When you pray your rounds, when you do your acts in the divine will, you're praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. The church already says this when you go in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You're the only one in church. You represent all humanity. And you can pray in the name of all of humanity. Begging God, pleading with God, supplicating God, may your kingdom come on earth soon. And when the souls begin to do this, it's going to happen. Like I said, it's so close. You can almost taste it. It's close. It's so close. So Jesus has got great, great plans. He needs us to cooperate. So Jesus says, these souls that know about my fiat, they are ennobling the creature, making the vital humors, the blood, the tendons, the muscles, everything flow within the soul. This is divine. Raising the soul back to her first origin. And they are like the brush of the artist. See, Jesus says, I'm going to make each of my children my divine masterpiece. So they are like the brush of the artist. Of the let us make man in our image and likeness. Creation isn't complete until we get back to where Adam was before the fall. Redemption isn't complete until we get back to where Adam was before the fall. A human must possess this. The true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve. That's what they gave to Louisa. And what Jesus is telling us is Louisa has gone back to the first origin. Louisa, God has used Louisa like with this brush. Let us make man in God's image and likeness. What God has done with Louisa, he wants to do with us. Bring us back to our origin. See, this is why the things of earth don't matter. I mean, we pray for everybody. But what matters is the kingdom be established on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father, the only prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples and apostles. That's the most important thing. That's why Jesus says, I'm going to give this gift to those souls who want the divine will more than anything. He says, these souls portray the image of their creator. These truths portray the image of their God in the creature. And now again, this is going to be proclaimed from every pulpit. The joy, the peace, the happiness of the kingdom of God established on earth as it is in heaven. Everyone will become Catholic, Jesus says. Everyone will possess the universal life that Adam lost. God breathed the universal life in Adam, not many religions, not many denominations. And God says, what he is going to bring about is a new heavens and a new earth. This is what God's got planned. He says, for some knowing more, some less than the divine nobility of these souls shall not be destroyed. Some knowing more, some knowing less. Why? What's the divine nobility? The noble title of the children of my divine will. It shall happen, for example, to a noble family, which has many children, and some who give themselves to studying, others to the fine arts. Those who elevate themselves more, have high and decorous positions, are known, loved, and esteemed more, since because of the sciences which they possess, they do more good in the midst of the people that the other brothers do not do. This is the thing that is so, it's so natural. It's so true. You have some brothers who are helpful and you have some brothers that are not. And Jesus says, what's going to happen is those souls that are studying the divine will are going to be able to give to all their other brothers and sisters, this life. But in spite of this, the fact that by their sacrifices, these elevate themselves so much and does not destroy the other brothers being noble, because all of them carry within themselves the noble blood of their father, and therefore they dress in noble fashion. They have noble manners in operating and in speaking and in everything. Such, listen to this, what Jesus says. Such shall be the children of my fiat, all noble. See, Adam was naked. Why? He lost the clothing of nobility. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the garment, the noble garment of the children of my divine will. All noble, they shall lose the roughness of the human will, the miserable rags of passions, they shall lose that. They shall lose the darkness of doubts. They shall lose the darkness of fears. All this shall be put to flight by the light of my knowledges. This is the book of heaven. And shall cast all into the sea of peace. So this is where we're getting to right now. Therefore, Louisa, your confessors who have passed into the next life shall be like the prelude of my children of my will. In fact, the first confessor you had sacrificed himself very much and worked to help the tiny little field of your soul. Okay. So he got everything going. And even though at that time I spoke to you little about my fiat, because I first had to dispose you. And that's what God is doing to us. He's disposing us to begin to live this abundant life. He shall be like the first herald, like the dawn that announces the day of the kingdom of my divine will. The trumpet, the blast of the shofar. I mean, the second, the third confessor of yours, who was so much participated and knew in the great part the knowledge of my divine will and made so many sacrifices, especially the third one, who so much loved that they become the writings become known and sacrificed himself so much in writing, shall be like the rising sun and shall place itself on its course, forms the full day of light. The new day is close. The darkness is almost over. Those who shall follow shall be like the full midday of the great day of my divine will. This great day that's coming, Jesus says, get ready for this new day, this glorious day that's going to come upon the earth. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity to the point of no sin. What God's got planned is astonishing. The great day of my divine will. We're going to see this. According to the interest that they have had, he says, and shall have, they shall be placed some at the first hour of the day of my volition, some at the second, some at the third, and some at the full midday. Now listen to what he says of Father Inible. And do you think that the memory of Father de Francia, his many sacrifices and desires to make my divine will known to the point of initiating the publication shall be extinguished in this great work of my divine fiat only because I, God, brought him with me to heaven? No, no. On the contrary, he shall have the first place. See, all the books that are printed are dedicated to Saint Honorable de Francia. It was his mission to bring these books to the world. By coming from far away, he went as though in search of the most precious thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. He sought the most precious thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. That's the book of heaven. He says, and the act that glorifies me, God, the most, the act that glorifies God the most is learning how to live in the divine will. Or rather, shall give me complete glory on the part of the creatures, and they shall have received complete goods. He, Father Inible, prepared the ground so that my divine will might be known, so much so that he spared nothing, neither expenses nor sacrifices, even though the publications did not have its completion by even just initiating it. St. Honorable de Francia prepared the ways so that one day, the work of my divine will in the midst of creatures can be known and have life. We'll stop there and we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always, that all the children of the holy divine will become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.